Okay, let me call this health committee meeting back to order. We were just on a 10-minute break. Okay, we are now on ONCA. Item number 8, ONCA 25103, an act to provide an appropriation to the executive branch of the Osage Nation in the amount of $11,007,052 in tribal and non-tribal funds and to establish alternate effective date. Congresswoman Rivard is the sponsor. Congressman Bighorst is the co-sponsor on this bill, so we can proceed. And the first item we have is Section 3, Child Support. And do we have Mr. Kidder online?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you for being here. I know you're calling in from out of state.
Yes.
Okay, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Okay. This is this year's FY26 child support budget. Are there any questions on it first?
Committee, Congressman Bighorst, you have a question?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'm not seeing child support in this new document, and I was just wanting to make sure that we had the correct amount. So if Mr. Kidder could give us the correct amount, I just want to make sure it's correct on here.
Yeah, I'm showing 1,004,589.
Yes, sir. That's what I've got. That's what I have.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions or regards to the child support budget? Okay.
These are all federal funds, so it is federally funded. So any questions on that?
This is your anticipated amount? Do you expect any?
Correct. And it may change once the award comes in. So sometimes they change that number on the awarded amount.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in. And there's no questions or comments from the committee. Let the record.
I would like to say one thing before I go.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to commend my staff. And like I say, every year I come do this budget review with the Congress, and I'd like, if anybody ever has any questions, feel free to come down and see us, visit with me. I run an open office, so I just want to get that out there to Congress and let them know they're always welcome in our office. Just come visit if you have any questions, and that's all I have, Alder.
Okay. Noted, Mr. Kidder. Thank you for that, and let the record reflect that Section 3 child support has been reviewed by the Health Committee. Next item up is Section 4 Community Services Block Grant. Ms. Kimball, is that you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Thank you. So what the committee sees before them is a proposed grant, a proposed budget, supported by a federal grant of $51,184. This is a projected estimate of our formula. And so it's a small grant. It doesn't allow for much admin at all. So what we have here and what we are eligible to utilize is within operations expenses, our a cost share of the rental and equipment maintenance, our occupancy, and then that IDC that goes with those services. The bulk of this amount is indirect assistance. And direct assistance, what we do with these funds is we provide financial assistance to low-income Native American families that live in our service area to help them offset expenses that are related to youth activities. So this is for youth, for students from pre-K to seniors in high school. This allows them to participate in extracurricular activities and sports, ballet, art initiatives, camps, things of that nature that they would need to go to school and participate. So this is financial assistance. It does not go directly to the kids. It goes to the vendor pay in most cases. So I'll try to answer any questions if the committee has them now. Thank you.
Any questions or comments from the committee in regards to the CSBG? Congressman Big Horse.
Yeah, just out of curiosity, Ms. Kimball, who utilizes this the most? Is it our youth sports?
Well, I would say it's pretty close between sports activities and the arts, with ballet and those kind of initiatives. But there is a lot of sports activities. We see baseball, softball, wrestling, those kinds of sports. A lot of that is, the expenses are high, especially for youth. You know, it's not so bad, or it's a little more affordable when the kids get into school and they're playing for a public school system. But it's a lot of them little guys, you know, and their fees and registration fees and camps and things like that. Yeah, that, and we're really glad to provide this, because I think that some of those families may not have been able to participate, their kids, you know, or it would present quite a struggle to the parents, you know, because they are pretty high.
All right, thank you, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you for that. Any other questions or comments for Ms. Kimball? Okay, thank you for presenting this budget. Let the record reflect that Section 4 Community Services Block Grant has been reviewed by the Health Committee. Next section, we'll go on to Section 6, Family Preservation. Who's here to speak on Family Preservation?
Chair, this is Ms. Shadlow.
Okay, Ms. Shadlow, you have the floor.
So, thanks for having me again. I think this is my last section today. So, this is our ACF 4B funding. So, the Family Preservation Grant, this is without the match. The match was in the previous bill. I can answer any questions we haven't already discussed, if you have any.
Okay. Do we have any questions in regards to family preservation? I'm not seeing any. I just take a note. It's from, these are federal funds, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And this is is this a typical amount, what you get from year to year?
Well, this is an estimated or projected amount that our grants department provides. And when the actual award comes down again at the next session, if there are any changes, then they will update that once the award notice is received.
Okay. All right. Well, if there's no questions or comments, let the record reflect that Section 6, Family Preservation, has been reviewed by the Health Committee. Thank you, Ms. Shadlow. Moving on to Section 7, Farmers Market. Who is here to speak to the Farmers Market? Is that you, Ms. Donna Bowman?
That is me. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can.
Thank you, Sir Chair, and good afternoon, Committee. The budget before you is a projected amount, just as Donna's was. Usually the amount is right around this amount. It's exactly the same as it was last year. There are no changes on this budget, and it's mostly direct services, very, very little admin. And I will say, part of the salaries are required to come out, but what we do is send timesheets over to our Treasury Department, and they reimburse the WIC grant back. So it's like I said, it's the same as it was last year. So I am open to any questions you may have.
Any questions or comments from the committee? Congressman Big Horse.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this really isn't a question. I'm pretty sure the $66,400 in professional fees, that would go to your growers or your farmers, correct?
There's not professional fees on this one. This is just direct assistance.
we just need to move it down the line.
Chair.
Second speaker.
Yeah, it looks like it was input into the wrong line for the bill purposes, but I see it on here for direct assistance on the support doc, so I'll make a note that it needs to be moved.
Okay, thank you.
In appropriations.
Okay, thank you for that. My question is in regards to what is their time frame for the farmers market, Ms. Bowman?
So the time frame begins June 1, and the funds must be expended by the end of August.
Okay. Any other questions or comments regards to the farmers market?
Oh, and Chairman,
yes.
It's the same with the senior farmers market too, the time frame. Just throwing that out there.
Okay. Okay. We will get to that in another section coming up. All right. Thank you for presenting this. If there's no more questions or comments, let the record reflect that Section 7 Farmers Market has been reviewed by the Health Committee. Next section, I'm looking at Section 8, Food Distribution. And I believe we have the new director here who you want to come to the podium and introduce or be introduced by Secretary Bledsoe. Go ahead, Secretary Bledsoe, you have the floor.
Thank you for allowing me a chance to introduce our new food distribution director. This is Gayla Carnegie. She comes to us from the Cherokee Nation. She spent about 21 years there, and she's graduated from Pawhuska High School. She's really glad to be back home, and this will be, I think, her fourth week here serving in the director capacity. And so we're going to go ahead and throw her out there and let her speak to her budget.
Good afternoon. It's good to be back here and at the Osage Nation. And one thing I do want to say is the staff that has been there working, just give them kudos just for keeping it running. And it's a good place. Didn't come into a mess or anything. So they've kept it running. It's very professional out there, and they're serving all the citizens here. So first of all, you have a copy of our budget. The projected amount is $693,310. That is projected budget for our fiscal year 2026. Osage Nation typically applies this funding around September each year. Any questions?
Do you have any questions or comments in regards to food distribution? Congressman Big Horse.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to make a notation that this is the second budget that has been off by $1. This one says 693,309. I think you said 693,310.
Correct.
Chair.
So. Second speaker.
Yeah, I have a few of those that Treasury in the top line, somewhere along the line in their spreadsheet numbers, it rounded down. So then when I would put in their section totals, it gives us $1 less. There's actually several, even in the tribal bill, that we'll have to go back in rules and ethics and match them to the top line. But yeah, that's a Treasury problem. That's who I'm gonna blame that one on, not my 10 key capacity.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's any easier to blame them than me.
Okay, any other questions or comments regarding food distribution? Okay, Ms. Carnegie, thank you for being here. Welcome back to the nation. I know you're
Thank you.
From Pawhuska. And I just want to also acknowledge the work that Mr. Fi Davis has done through the years.
Yes.
He's here for some time. Hope he enjoys his retirement.
And he's hired some good staff.
So if there's no more questions or comments in regards to Section 8 food distribution, let the record reflect it's been reviewed by the Health Committee. And next we are going on to Section 9, HUDVASH. And who is here to speak to HUDVASH? All right, Mr. Brandon Wallace, thank you for being here. You have the floor.
Thank you, Chair. This is our projected budget, including our expansion that we've applied for this year. Currently, we have 20 vouchers. We have 19 participants and one referral. We had it full, then we had one drop off. But we are working this referral to get all of our vouchers filled. Our request is 20 additional vouchers. The award date for that is December 2025. We have pretty solid evidence that are going to get awarded this. With this expansion, housing's plan is to get Let me just explain. The lack of decent, affordable homes and shelters at maximum capacity, veterans are forced to live in unsafe conditions waiting on placement. Veterans frequently report large management companies fail to timely make repairs in their units and charge rent that exceeds fair market values. We have a handful of elders or veterans that live in the Tulsa area where we pay their rental subsidy. We regularly do inspections in these apartments, and some of the stories that come back to me are very concerning. I send my construction manager and inspectors over there to look at these places. It's sad what these veterans are having to live in. So what housing intends to do with this expansion and another grant that we've applied for to kind of roll together with this under the Native American Housing Initiatives grant, we requested $500,000 for us to install smaller homes over in the Skytook area. The plan is to install 10. I don't want to say tiny homes because they're not built as a standard tiny home is. A lot of times those tiny homes are kind of substandard materials, not real, you know, quality. But we went and toured this facility, and I was highly impressed with the way these are built and the standards that they practice in their building. So our intention is to install 10 of these smaller homes in the Skytook Sky Lodge area. We have all of that land, all of that existing infrastructure already there. The civil part of that will be minimal. So that's what this additional funding, because our traditional HUDVASH has been at, where's my number? $291,660, and this increase will bring us to $327,461 for the rental subsidy. Now these payments towards these homes that we install, that will come back as program income, and that money can be used to maintain the facilities, along with the veterans that are already staying in our senior housing complexes. That money is used as program income, and we can use it on veteran activities, HUDVASH activities. So basically these homes that we install, we look for it to pay for itself as far as maintenance goes.
Okay. Thank you for that. Do we have any questions or comments in regards to HUDVASH or Mr. Wallace? Okay. What was the other grant you just mentioned?
The Native American Housing Initiatives Grant, NAHI, is through the Sovereign Bank. Debbie Lindsay, the VP and Tribal Relations Manager, is who we've been working with on that one.
You've already been awarded that grant?
That one was awarded. That award comes out October 31st.
Oh. Okay, so we haven't gotten information.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, well, if you have any more questions or comments in regards to HUDVASH, let the record reflect that it's been reviewed by the Health Committee. All right, thank you, Mr. Wallace, for being here. I'm sure we're going to come back to you here in a little bit. Moving on to Section 10, LIHEAP, Low Income Energy Assistance Program. Ms. Kimball, are you still with us?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. So, committee, what you have before you is a proposed budget of $164,584. This is a projected estimate of a federal award. This is a formula-driven amount, so this is an average. It does allow for some administrative costs, so we have small amounts in salary and wages, as well as fringe. Then we have an operational cost. $300 in rental and equipment maintenance, and a cost share of our spaced costs. And then the rest is indirect assistance. So this amount of direct assistance is to provide financial assistance for low-income households in Osage County and on the reservation to help them with their household energy bills, electric, water, gas, propane, those things. And so this is a federal award. I did participate in a meeting last week with a consultant with the Department of Energy, and they were given an update to tribes and states about the Big Beautiful Bill and how it may or may not affect the LIHEAP program. And they were very confident, they weren't 100% sure, but they were very confident that LIHEAP will continue to be funded, and even with a small increase. And so just so everyone knows, the Osage Nation did, we did present the model plan and still complete the application process as required. We continue to proceed as though it's going to be fully funded by the federal government. Same way with the Community Service Block Grant that we spoke about a few minutes ago. We did complete that application process too. So although the Senate and the House have to agree, you know, on that budget and the appropriations to these programs, we're proposing this projected estimate here. So I will field any questions that the committee might have now.
Any questions or comments? Second Speaker Redcorn.
Thank you, Chair. Director Kimball, do you mind kind of elaborating a little bit on what you said and helping make that connection between, because what we talked about a little bit ago in the other bill and in the unknowns in those sections was a tribal portion that it's about the same, it is about the same amount, I think, in this one. The direct assistance comes out to about $144,000, and then there's a utility assistance that we discussed in financial assistance. Can you connect the relationship for that? Is that a result of making sure that we were able still to provide and meet a need if the federal government decided not to fund this, or is this an on top of kind of thing?
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. So in the financial assistance budget, in the direct assistance line, and I know that we were talking about the amendment and you helped explain to the committee how that came about, but there are multiple programs in that one direct assistance line. The crisis assistance program is in there, CWASHUPI, a Osage Nation utility assistance program, the unmarked graves. So these are fairly new initiatives that have come from the Congress. The unmarked graves has, you know, and that we found beneficial to our constituents, and so we proposed those amounts in there again. So in relation to your question, yes, we did propose a tribal appropriation in the event the federal program does not come through. So if the federal program does receive an issue an award and we receive that award, we'll use the federal award. Those tribal funds will still remain available to Osage households that don't qualify for federal programs. So it will still go to Osage members in the area that don't qualify for federal programs.
Chair, if I may.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Director Kimball. I think that's really important for us to consider, that we'd be able to meet a need that goes over and above the federal assistance. Should that still go ahead and come through, that gives us the opportunity to meet additional unmet needs, rather than, I think what I want my colleagues to also hear, though, in that is that even though it was placed in the tribal bill as a just in case the federal doesn't come through, we have it here and we can still meet that need. If the committees wanted to consider, like if the federal dollars did come through, they could consider removing the tribal dollars, but I think it's important maybe that we don't consider that, that we look at it as a way. This is just my opinion, that we look at it as a way to serve above and beyond in the event that the federal dollars do come through.
Chair?
Yes.
So Congresswoman Redcorn makes a very good and valid point, and she is correct. Her assumption's correct. It was the tribal request was a plan B in case the federal allocation does not come through. But there's no harm here, you know, and you could entertain a reduction in the future, or you could leave the funds in that budget. And I can continue to help Osages that don't qualify for federal programs. And that is my plan there. Same way with the Community Services Block Grant. It's the same situation. If the federal government doesn't fund that program, we have a tribal request in financial assistance to continue operating that program. If they do fund it, all we're going to do is still have tribal funds to service Osage children that don't qualify for the federal program.
Okay, thank you for that. Any other questions or comments regards to the LIHEAP program? Okay, seeing none, let the record reflect that Section 10, Low Income Energy Assistance Program, LIHEAP, has been reviewed by the Health Committee. Thank you, Ms. Campbell, for being here and presenting that.
Thank you.
Moving on to Section 11, NAHASDA, Native American Housing Assistance Self-Determination Act. I believe I got that right. It's Mr. Wallace, you're here to talk about this one?
Yes, Chair, thank you.
Okay, go ahead. You have the floor.
So this budget is our projected budget for FY26. Kind of with the new administration, the things that I'd been seeing early in things coming out from this administration, it was advised to reduce my budget by around 30% from what last year was. So that's the reason for the lower projection for this year. Things have kind of evolved, and kind of the things that I'm hearing is that's not necessarily the case, but I'm leaving it at this just in case. So with our NAHASDA, you know, this is our biggest grant. We help a lot of people with this money. And for just FY25 purposes, I just kind of wanted to go over what we've accomplished. As of today on our emergency rehab, we have completed successfully 54 rehabs on privately owned homes. We have active 28 in waiting. And then the total application amount for our emergency rehab program was 117 this year. That has increased quite a bit. And our completed number is lower than it was last year, but I will say we had to train a new construction manager and two brand new inspectors this year. So I see this number coming up next year. We get everybody back comfortable in their positions. Down payment assistance, we have awarded 13 traditional and 3 DPAS. DPAS is the partial IHBG and partial program income. We have active 2 traditional and 1 DPAS, and then total applications of 22 traditional and 5 DPAS. That's a significant increase. It's kind of astonished me that people are buying so many houses right now with the way things are, but we're here to help them. So vouchers, we've completed 69. Total applications was 250. Home ownership, we have conveyed 2 homes this year, which is exciting for our Osage participants. They are now homeowners. We've completed 6 projects in the home ownership program, you know, bringing up some substandard issues. And then actively, we have 30 insurance claims this year. We've had a lot of severe weather, a lot of, you know, everybody knows that what we've dealt with over the past couple months. So, but I'm here to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions in regards to NAHASDA?
I do, if there's no questions, I do want to just kind of tell you guys about our plans for FY26. So housing has a lot of back funding that wasn't used over the years, and this is a rollover grant. So this money stays in our ELOCs program. And so what I have done, I've requested $2 million in our back funding, and the plan that housing is going to move forward with upon award of our FY26 IHP is we are going to build 10 low-income rental homes. We're going to spread it out through the 3 districts. I'm thinking, you know, 4 here in Pawhuska, and then Hopney and Fairfax, kind of, I haven't looked at the land situations in Hominy and Fairfax yet, but I have identified the land in Pusk, and that's where we'll be starting. So that's kind of, you know, I've talked about it over the past several years to you guys about the housing crisis that we're in, the lack of housing, and I just wanted to let you guys know I'm working towards solving this. Even if it's 10 rental homes, you know, that's 10 people that are going to have a house that didn't before. So that's our plan for next year upon award. If we get awarded this, you know, I'll be back at Hunka Session asking for that appropriation.
Thank you for that.
Chair.
Second speaker.
Thank you, Chair. So on your NAHASDA budget, you'd said you decreased your request just to kind of match behavior or anticipated behavior of the federal government side. If that, and this might be a, I don't know, Krista may be able to answer this too, but like, if it comes back that they're not only going to fund that amount, but actually fund above, because I know that that's kind of been a conversation once some of this stuff has hit the House, that they are looking at actually not only funding it, but increasing funding for these things. Does that give us the ability then to go back and ask for an amount over and above what we did? Even though we lowered our original ask, can we go back then and ask for more?
So my request to HUD is different than my budget request here. So my IHP submission, my total amount requested, it's $5,505,372. So I didn't want to put us into a spot where we, you know, if we requested this $2,019,000, we were stuck with that for the FY26.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Congressman Big Horse, did you have something? Okay. Thank you for being here, Brandon, again.
Thank you.
And thank you for presenting this. No more questions or comments. Let the record reflect that Section 11, NAHASDA, has been reviewed by the Health Committee. Which moves us to Section 12, NAHASDA Administration. Brandon, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Okay, so this budget covers a few salaries. The director salary, program coordinator, and then two admins. The rest of it is supplies, postage, insurance, different things like that run this program on the admin side. So I can answer any questions if you have them.
Any questions or comments regards to NAHASDA administration? Okay. I don't think we have any.
Thank you.
Let the record reflect that Section 12, NAHASDA administration, has been reviewed by the Health Committee. Okay, we are moving on to Section 15, Senior Farmers Market. Ms. Bowman, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Thank you. Just like the farmers market before, the amount is the same as it was last year, and this is the exact amount it was last year. So the budget reflects exactly what I had for FY25, and I am open to questions if you have any.
Questions or comments regards to Senior Farmers Market? Congressman Big Horse, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I haven't been to the Seniors Farmer Market in a couple of years. Is it still thriving and booming like it was?
Yes, sir. In fact, it's really disappointing that they don't award us more because we run out of money every year. It'd be nice if this budget was flip-flopped with the regular farmers market, because we have way more seniors that qualify and that are interested, and then we have to turn some away.
Thank you. And I will mention this to our appropriations chair and see if we can help you somehow.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Any other questions or comments? All right. Thank you, Ms. Bowman, for presenting this. Let the record reflect that Section 15, Senior Farmers Market, has been reviewed by the Health Committee. That brings us to Section 16, Senior Housing Fairfax. Mr. Wallace, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Hopefully you guys don't get tired of seeing me today. Okay, so Senior Housing Fairfax, this request is $37,116. This will supplement repairs and different activities. We've got some utility costs in there. You know, our utility expenses are increasing every year, almost seems like every month. But this will help with that. Some supplies, some tools, just like Pawhuska was for the guys, some different things like that. I did want to bring up, you know, I was down here last year and we brought up the generators at Fairfax. So I had a very trusted electrical company come in and do some investigating and some recommendations on how to get these generators that are there working for our elders. So what they discovered, and it's exactly what I said, you know, these generators are undersized, the wiring is undersized, the power and data lines are ran into the same conduit, which causes interference. The breakers were incorrectly sized. So we have a plan to get these generators functioning where we could allow HVAC to work in those summer or winter months, you know, when we lose power, lights and some refrigeration. They would install some soft start devices on all the HVAC. So when your HVAC starts up, it jumps up to about 75 amps and then drops back down to about a running amp of 14. Those devices, and then some load shed devices, which would do away with like your stove, different things that you don't need in those emergency situations. Right now I have one quote and I've got two other companies looking at it, and I'm supposed to be getting a quote from them. But my one quote that I have, we are looking at $86,895 to get these generators working when we spend about $600,000 installing them. So I just wanted to bring this up. If Congress wants to give me some money to get these elders generators, you know, I would gratefully accept it and get our elders the proper generators for their emergency situations.
Questions or comments? My question is that you just mentioned several stuff was wrong when it comes to sizing and implementing in it. Can we hold who installed it? Can we hold them accountable for that? Or are we past that?
I think we're past that.
Chair?
Yes, Secretary Johnson.
So there's more to it than just that. The gas supply in Fairfax isn't enough to run these generators anyway. And that's the city of Fairfax. It has to do with the size of lines, the pressure, et cetera. The budget for that build went over as it was. So what we have is what we had the money for. So we're basically trying to fix something later based off of not enough funds to begin with. And the town of Fairfax, as a matter of fact, every other town around here, all of them, city of Hominy, they supplied the gas meters. The city of Fairfax would not supply the gas meters. That wasn't a part of the original budget because, like I said, every other city supplies those. So we actually had to purchase the gas meters that are hooked to those homes. So there were a number of issues that we ran into with this build. And now we're just trying to fix, you know, what we have. That's basically it.
Okay, thank you for that. Any other questions or comments?
Chair.
Second Speaker Redcorn.
So, and I don't know if Mr. Wallace or Secretary Johnson want to answer this. So if we get all the electrical component, if we get our side of this fixed for $86,000, I mean, then what, I think, is maybe my question. I don't know if this, like, how can this actually improve to a point that these actually can be usable for our people out there, short of installing a giant propane tank to run the facility on its own. I don't, rather than relying on gas from the city, I just don't know what the alternative is. I don't know if there's a way to get additional gas supply or just to create our own. I don't know what the solution is, because I mean, I can get my mind around $86,000 to bring this up to snuff so that they can actually be usable for our people. But then what do we do with that gas component? What's
Chair.
The workaround?
Secretary Johnson.
So yes, ma'am, I understand your concern. It's not anything we can do without replacing the city of Fairfax's gas lines. And that's millions of dollars. What this will do is, you know, when your power goes out, it'll run your refrigerator and your freezer, so you don't lose food. You'll have some light, and it will run your home to where you're okay. You're not going to be able to turn on every light. You're not going to be able to run the dryer and the stove at the same time, you know, things like that. So it's not what it will be is it will be a reduction in all of the things you can do if you're just on the regular grid, you know, like, some people in my house, they turn on every light in the house. They got TVs running. They've got stuff in the dryer. They got stuff on the stove. You're not going to be able to do all that. And really, that's all generators are meant to do, is keep you operational temporarily. You know, so you're not inconvenienced, your food's not rotten, things like that.
Chair. Go ahead. I hear that. And I think where my frustration lies is, because I don't disagree with you, Secretary, that the generator can be designed to keep the bare minimum going, your fridges especially, so you don't lose your food. Not necessarily your climate control units, whatever they are. You know, I understand that isn't a situation that we can afford everyone. I think where my frustration lies is that we installed such a system. We paid for a system that, in theory, if the gas line weren't an issue, in theory, we could actually run all of those things at those units. So we've paid for this. We've overbuilt because and not because that's us, but because we have overbuilt only because of the gas line. This would have been really amazing to be able to have this generator capacity in these units. And so I guess I'm frustrated that at some point when we, because I remember having this conversation about this gas line situation out there. So this isn't a new conversation. And so I think I'm frustrated that whoever built this out for us still allowed us to proceed with a really expensive giant generator system that we were never going to be able to use unless we completely rebuild the entire gas line infrastructure for Fairfax. And so while I see and I appreciate that we can get to a point that we can get the bare minimum on for our people, I think that's extremely important. I just feel like, I don't know, we just have this thing that we can't fully enjoy unless we look at rebuilding infrastructure for a city and a municipality, which I'm not saying is, you know, out of reach. We can look at grants and whatever to help infrastructure grants, but I don't know. I guess I'm just frustrated that we have this giant thing that we at the moment seems like we'll never be able to use and our people won't benefit from, but we've paid for it.
Chair.
Mr. Wallace, go ahead.
Part of my plan was to retrofit these generators with a propane system. we would have to change the orifices. Natural gas orifice versus a propane orifice is different, but that's minimal. I haven't got any pricing on what the propane is going to cost yet, because I haven't determined whether we want to buy these tanks or if we want to rent them. But that is part of what I'm envisioning, setting individual propane tanks for each generator, entering in a contract with either Form B's or whoever we have, you know, that can give us the best price to fill these generators regularly, rather than spending millions of dollars to update a poor, you know, natural gas system. Cost efficiently, it would be make sense to go propane.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Thank you. That brings me quite a bit of comfort. Yeah, because I think long-term thinking, and I think when we, what I hope is, and listen, I'm learning about some of these things as I go in life, and especially as we're dealing with like these communities that have aging infrastructure that we can't afford to completely redo. It would be wonderful if we could, but we can't necessarily. But I, you know, if we can get to a place where we kind of like have builders and stuff that advocate for us in those ways, that like we can look at situations where maybe we do like mini split situations that actually don't draw quite as much power as the giant home, like the traditional air conditioning systems and things that draw a little bit less power. So that then when we, you know, when we're up against a situation like this, where we could have made some accommodations, some build accommodations that would have allowed, you know, maybe it's propane, attaching propane to the generator too, and maybe it's putting in some of these multi-room mini splits that draw a little bit less power, or you could shut it down to one room kind of situations, to where you, I don't know. I just hope that in the future, and I know you do, I can see where you're already thinking outside the box and how to fix these problems with a little bit more of a modern lens. Because there's a lot available. That soft start thing is huge. I only know about those because I have a fifth wheel, and you can put those soft start things in there if you want to work, live off grid or use it off grid. You can do that off solar power and do the soft start thing, which is pretty cool. But anyway, I'm glad to see that you're looking to see how to make these things work for us. But I think it's just sad that we're at that place where we have this big, beautiful, wonderful generator system out there, and we now, after the fact, have to work and spend money, additional monies, which is fine for our people, but it's frustrating when you've built this brand new facility that doesn't work. I appreciate what you're doing to look at making this work, and also I know that that's got the wheels turning for you on future projects to make sure that we don't end up in this situation again. So just know that I appreciate you looking at those things, and but also that what I heard is we might need about $86,000 for Fairfax to help fix this problem. Is that right?
Hopefully our other bids come in lower, but
okay.
That's, yeah.
It helps.
Right now, that's what we have to look at.
Just helps set the mindset.
Yeah.
So that's fine. And I wrote that down on my appropriation notes just so the committee knows.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments regard to senior housing Fairfax? All right, seeing none, let the record reflect that Section 16, Senior Housing Fairfax, has been reviewed by the Health Committee. Brings us to Section 17, Senior Housing Hominy. Mr. Wallace, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you. So this requested budget is $85,970. I don't see us using a whole lot of this because Hominy's brand new. A lot of this, if we have any issues down there, it's going to be a warranty issue, most likely. But again, you know, I'm trying to get my guys trained where we bring in less contractors. So there's some specialty tools that I've been looking at, some different things like that. Even if it's me getting out there in person with them and working with them and training them myself, that's my goal. And but again, like I said, I don't see us spending a whole lot of this. There's just some utility costs and those things.
Any questions or comments regard to senior housing Hominy?
Chair.
Second speaker.
Thank you. And this is just me being curious. So do they have the same generator set up out there? I know they don't, obviously probably don't have the same infrastructure issue, but do they have the same generator set up available out there for those units?
No, these are properly sized.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Anything else? If not, Thank you for being here, Mr. Wallace. Let the record reflect that Section 17 Senior Housing Hominy has been reviewed by the Health Committee.
Thank you.
Brings us to Section 18, Women, Infants, and Children. And who is here to speak to this budget?
I'm still here.
Okay,
Ms. Chairman.
Yeah, the floor, go ahead.
Thank you. Again, all of my appropriation requests are projected. So before you, you have the Women, Infants, and Children's budget. It's all 100% federally funded. That's where all of our payroll comes out of. There's not a whole lot of changes in this budget. So I'm open to any questions anybody may have.
Any questions or comments from the committee? Second speaker, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to clarify on your number, because I have two sets of documents. What are you showing as your, I know it's a projected number, but to get it right for the bill, what are you showing as your award amount?
$4,551,892.
Thank you. So committee, you'll notice that the bill says $4,556 million, so it's slightly different, but we got updated documents on 8/29 that have the number that she just told us.
Okay. Ms. Bowman, the only question I have is do you have a previous year's funding available too? Like other programs, or is this one that you
Are you asking if there's carryover funds?
Yes.
No, sir. They do not carry over.
Okay, just thought I'd ask. All right, any other questions or comments in regards to the WIC budget? All right, thank you for presenting that, Ms. Bowman. We'll got one more section we need for you, and let the record reflect that Section 18, Women, Infants, and Children has been reviewed by the Health Committee. We are on to our last section, Section 19, Women, Infants, and Children Breastfeeding. Ms. Bowman, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Thank you. Once again, projected appropriation. This is usually pretty spot on. It's usually around $89,000. No changes on this budget. However, back to your question on the regular WIC budget, this budget does carry over every 2 years. So I'm open to any questions anybody may have.
Any questions from the committee or comments? Okay, we don't have anything. Just thank you for presenting it and being online. Let the record reflect that Section 19, Women, Infants, and Children Breastfeeding has been reviewed by the Health Committee meeting.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
Okay, that leads me to ONCA 25-104. And Mr. Potts is the sponsor, and he messaged that he will not be here today. So we've completed our sections. I just wanted to let Secretary Bledsoe thank you for having your directors on hand and ready to go. We got a lot done today, so I appreciate that. Without objection, we are adjourned.